to trust the gentle order of the room. Every folded thing.
Welcome to Base by Base, the paper cast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine for a moment that your brain is the most intricate, demanding factory ever built.
It's always on.
Always running, always building connections, and, this is the critical part, always cleaning up after itself. Your neurons, especially at the synapses where, you know, memory and thought happen, they need a massive continuous supply of new proteins.
Right, while simultaneously getting rid of the old or damaged ones. We're talking about hundreds of proteins being swapped out in minutes. It's an insane challenge in what we call proteostasis.
Maintaining that perfect protein balance.
Exactly. And if the cell's primary recycling system, the cleanup crew, fails, especially in the brain, the whole system just, it collapses. You get what's called proteotoxic stress.
Toxic proteins just building up.
Piling up, yeah. Killing the cell slowly. And when that system malfunctions because of one tiny genetic fault, the result can be devastating.
And that's what we're getting into today. A huge piece of research that connects errors in one key recycling component to these widespread, really severe neurodevelopmental disorders. The gene is called PSMC5.
That's right. But this is more than just finding a gene. It's about understanding a systemic failure. And before we dive into the mechanics, we really have to acknowledge the team behind this.
A massive effort, right?
A massive multinational collaboration led by Sebastian Curry and colleagues. I mean, their work has basically provided the foundation for this distinct class of conditions we now call neurodevelopmental proteasomopathies, or NDPs, caused by this gene.
So let's talk about this cleanup crew. The system we're referring to is the ubiquitin proteasome system, the UPS.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us know it as the system that tags old proteins with ubiquitin for destruction.
Right, that's the tapping part. The destruction part happens in the 26S proteasome. You can think of it like a molecular paper shredder with two main parts. There's the 20S core particle. That's the barrel where the chopping happens.
The shredder itself.
The shredder, yeah. And then sitting on top is the 19S regulatory particle, which is like the intelligent gatekeeper. It decides what goes in.
And our gene, PSMC5, is right in the middle of that gatekeeper structure, isn't it?
Exactly. PSMC5, which is also known as RPT6, is one of six AAA plus ATPase subunits in the base of that 19S particle. So if the 20S core is the grinder.
The 19S is the motor.
It's the motor and the recognition system. PSMC5 uses energy to recognize those ubiquitin tags, unfold the protein, and then feed it right into the shredder. It's literally the engine powering the whole recycling line. If PSMC5 falters, everything slows down.
Okay, that makes sense for a system-wide problem, but we see the most severe impact in the brain with these NDPs. So why is PSMC5 so critical for a neuron compared to, say, a liver cell?
Well, neurons are just different. Their protein needs are constantly fluctuating, especially at the synapse. Mm-hmm. PSMC5 isn't just a dumb motor. It's a dynamic neuronal sensor.
A sensor.
It adjusts the proteasome's activity. It even moves it around to dendritic spines when there's a sudden demand for protein turnover, which is what you need for synaptic plasticity for learning. If that sensor is broken, fundamental processes just break down.
That sets the stage perfectly. So this research team, they didn't just find the genetic link. They wanted to map out the entire functional consequence.
And the way they did it was just stunning. The foundation, of course, was the human data. They identified 26 different PSMC5 variants, most of them de novo, so new mutations, in 44 people who all had similar neurodevelopmental conditions.
That was the clean link between the gene and the disease.
That was the link. But to get at the mechanics, you need models. And they didn't just use one, they used a whole multi-platform approach.
So how did they start to model something complex like learning?
For that, they turned to the fruit fly, Drosophila. It has the PSMC5 ortholog, RPT6. By knocking down RPT6 just in the neurons, they could study things like memory and locomotion really quickly.
Right, much faster than in a mouse model.
Way faster. But to see the actual physical breakdown in the brain, they needed something closer to home.
Human neurons.
Or close to it. They used primary rat hippocampal neurons to look at morphology, how the neuron branches out, the synapse density. They could literally see the architecture crumbling.
And what about the developmental timeline? For NDDs, it's so important to know when the damage actually starts.
That's where induced pluripotent stem cells, iPSCs, were so brilliant. They took the most common variant, PARG325-TRP, put it into these stem cells, and then watch them differentiate into neural cells.
So they could pinpoint the exact moment things start to go wrong.
Exactly. They could see the developmental bottleneck in real time. And then there's the last piece, the one that gave the most exciting therapeutic hint.
Using pharmacological inhibitors on patient cells. What made that so pivotal?
It was so clever. It connected the dots between the mechanical failure, the broken proteasome, and the downstream result, which was chronic inflammation. By targeting specific enzymes in what's called the integrated stress response, or ISR, they created a direct functional link between the protein traffic jam and the immune system going haywire in the patient's own T cells. And that gave them an immediate drug target.
So let's move from the methods to the, well, the devastating reality of this condition. What did the clinical findings actually show?
The phenotype is it's severe. And it's multisystemic.
Yeah.
We're looking at global developmental delay in 95% of the subjects.
Wow, 95%.
Delayed speech in 92%, intellectual disability in 81%. Motor impairment was also extremely high, around 78%.
And you said multisystemic, so it's not just a brain issue.
Not at all. This proteasome failure hits the whole body. Non-neurological features were everywhere. Ophthalmological anomalies, eye problems in 73%, and significant skeletal malformations in 62%.
And did it matter where the mutation was in the gene?
It really did. Variants that were clustered in that AAA plus A2pase domain, the engine part we talked about, like that PR325 TRP variant, they generally caused a more severe multisystemic disease. It's like breaking the engine causes the most widespread damage.
Okay, so that's the clinical picture. Now let's look inside the cells. We know the recycling is broken, so garbage is piling up. What's the proof of that?
The physical evidence is the accumulation of these polyubiquitinated proteins. They're tagged for disposal, but the shredder is jammed, so they clump together into these big toxic blobs called agresomes.
And you can see these.
Oh yeah, they saw them directly in patient T cells and in their neuronal models. It's the classic sign of proteotoxic stress.
But the finding that really grabbed me was the specificity of the damage at the synapse, this excitation inhibition imbalance. Can you break that down?
This is, I think, the most critical finding in the mature neurons. They found a huge reduction in excitatory synapses, the go signals.
Okay.
But the inhibitory synapses, the stop signals, they were stable. So think about it. Your brain needs this perfect balance of gas and brake.
And they're selectively taking out the gas pedal.
Exactly. The circuits just become functionally impaired. This EI imbalance is a huge player in other NDDs, like autism spectrum disorder, which gives us a direct molecular bridge between this one gene and these very complex symptoms.
And we saw that play out in the fly behavior, right? It wasn't just general learning difficulty.
I don't know. It was so specific. The flies with the faulty gene could still do basic olfactory learning. They could form simple associations. But they completely failed at something called reversal learning.
Which is cognitive flexibility.
It's the ability to adapt when the rules change. The flies just couldn't pivot their behavior. It's a powerful proxy for the kinds of intellectual deficits you see in the human patients.
So beyond the protein mess, the multi-omics revealed this full-blown cellular crisis, starting with the power plants.
The mitochondria, yeah, the proteasome dysfunction triggered increased mitophagy. The cell was basically eating its own damaged mitochondria to try and survive, a clear signal of profound metabolic stress.
And then there was the damage to the cell's actual architecture, the lipid dysregulation.
This was another huge surprise, a profound alteration in lipid profiles. The most startling thing was a 50% increase in cholesterol esters.
50%.
50%, which can be toxic in excess. And at the same time, they saw a decrease in key membrane phospholipids, the very things that build functional cell membranes. So the structural foundation of the brain is literally being compromised.
And on top of all that, the signal of chronic distress, the immune signature.
Yes, the patient T cells had the strongly elevated type I interferon gene signature. It's a sign of chronic spontaneous immune activation, sort of a sterile inflammation because there's no virus or bacteria. It's the body attacking itself, which just adds another layer of stress to an already struggling nervous system.
Let's circle back to the origins. The iPSC model, you said it gave us a timeline. It showed that the problem doesn't start on day one.
Right. The very first steps of life forming, the three primary germ layers, that was fine. It seems like very early embryonic cells have some way to compensate for the faulty gene.
But those defenses don't last.
They don't. The problems became tragically clear at the next critical stage, making the central nervous system. The variant significantly impaired the creation of neural progenitor cells, the NPCs.
Building blocks of the brain.
The very building blocks. They saw a 7 to 10% reduction in key markers. This developmental bottleneck is why the brain is so incredibly vulnerable.
So we have the full picture now. Broken recycling leads to garbage buildup, structural collapse, metabolic stress, and this chronic inflammation.
Mm.
What's the molecular link that's actually driving that inflammation?
This is the groundbreaking connection they made. It's the integrated stress response, the ISR. When you have all this protein stress, the cell activates these ISR kinases, specifically PKR and GCN2.
And the ISR is like the cell's emergency alarm system.
It is. It's supposed to shut down protein production to conserve resources. But in this case, the chronic activation of PKR and GCN2 is what directly triggers that type I interferon signature. So proteasome failure equals ISR activation, which equals chronic brain inflammation. That's the link.
And that link leads directly to therapeutic promise, which has to be the most exciting part of this for patients and families.
It gives them an immediate, actionable target. The study showed that treating the patient's T cells with inhibitors for PKR and GCN2, these small molecules, it significantly reduced the inflammatory scores.
You can calm the immune system down.
You can treat the damaging downstream effects, not just the primary defect. It suggests a real pathway for pharmacological intervention.
And if we zoom out, I mean, EI imbalance, lipid dysregulation, proteasome decline, these sound a lot like features of more common neurodegenerative disorders like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's.
Absolutely. Proteasome dysfunction and sterile inflammation are hallmarks of many of those conditions. Understanding how PSMC5 failure triggers the ISR and then showing we can inhibit it, that's a blueprint. It suggests strategies developed here could one day help a much broader group of patients, especially given the progressive decline they saw in the older flies.
So if you take one thing away from this deep dive, it's this. Genetic errors in the PSMC5 gene cause the cell's protein recycling engine to collapse. This triggers a cascade of crises, mitochondrial damage, lipid dysregulation, and chronic debilitating inflammation, all driven by the integrated stress response.
And that ISR is now a prime actionable therapeutic target. This detailed analysis of PSMC5 shows that the brain's ability to clean house is inextricably linked to its immune state. What new frontiers of research will open now that we have actionable targets like the ISR for these complex neurodevelopmental and potentially neurodegenerative conditions? This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now, stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
I used to trust the gentle order of the room. Every folded thing returning to its place. But somewhere in the blueprint, born too new, too soon, a small cog slips and time forgets its pace. Night gathers in the corners of the cell. Unfinished shapes that won't release their weight. A silent crew that cleans the world so well. Starts losing bolts inside the loading gate. And all the lights turn low then flare. A whisper turns to warning air. If the hands can't hold what's meant to clear, what happens to the fragile here? Hold me where the breakers don't ignite, where the cleanup songs can find their key. When the system shakes under heavy light, let the quiet assembly carry me. If the signal screams and the storms begin, teach my heart steady time. Keep the world from breaking in my skin. Keep the world from breaking in my mind. Keep the world from breaking in my mind. In nerve branch streets, the growing lines will strain. Some paths stretch long, some lose their way to form. A careful balance tilts towards sharp and plain. A fuse too close to every passing storm. The alarms recruit their winter color flags. The city of the body shifts its tone. Old engines cough, entire power drags. While heavy shadows circle what we own. But if the switchboards learn to bend, if stress can be a shape to mend, then name the levers, map the wire, and pull us back from higher fire. If the signal screams and the storms begin, teach my heart to breathe in steady time. Keep the world from breaking in my skin. Keep the world from breaking in mine. I'm not a flaw, I'm not a sentence carved in stone. Just a fragile rhythm searching for repair. There's a doorway in the pressure. There's a tone that turns sirens into breathable air. So trace the hidden hinge, the slipped design. Find the calm inside the stress response tide. If we can name the shadow, we can shine. If we can tune the warning, we can guide. Find their key when the system shakes under heavy light. Let the quiet assembly carry me. And if tomorrow brings a clearer sign, if new hands learn the locks in me, keep the world from breaking in my skin. Keep the world from breaking in my mind. Let the quiet assembly carry me.